Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Game over, man.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome in to the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here, helping break down a 3-2 Blackhawks loss to the Carolina Hurricanes as the three-game road trip continues for Chicago. You can call or text 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in on the postgame show. Let's go back to Carolina and bring in our guy, Troy Murray, to help us recap this one. Troy, just thoughts on the overall game. I know in the first period, Hawks didn't get their first shot until well late into it, but it wasn't a terrible game by Chicago against a very good Carolina team in their building.
They competed hard, and that's what you're kind of looking for here is, you know, you want to compete hard, you want to get some results, and you want to see progress heading in the right direction. You and I have talked about, you know, where the baseline is for the players and for the team as a whole. It's the work ethic, and if they keep bringing the work ethic, they're going to get results. I mean, this is a game that Carolina scored those two quick goals. You give up a shorthanded goal, which was a backbreaker. You don't want to see that happen. But they worked hard. I mean, they tied up the game by a nice play all along the boards by Dickinson, Brody to start with, and then Dickinson, Foligno, Seddon, Mikheyev. You know, so he scores a goal there, 1-1 heading into the second period, and they were playing okay, and all of a sudden, you know, a couple good plays by Carolina. Give Jack Roslovic a lot of credit because he set up Rantanen, and Rantanen, he's got that shot, and it went between the legs of Soderblom and just trickled over the goal line before Seth Jones could get there. And then it's kind of a scrambling play. Nobody picked up Slavin, and he scores a goal just over a minute after that. So now you're really chasing the score, but I give credit. Soderblom hung in there after that. The guys battled hard and, you know, made it a tough game for Carolina, and they had the opportunity right at the end, but they just weren't able to capitalize.
The Blackhawks had two power plays in this hockey game. They didn't really do much with their opportunities, specifically that first one, the Seth Jarvis shorthanded goal. It kind of resembled the game 10 days ago where the Hawks, I know that was early in the game, but the Hawks were up 2-0 in that game. Seth Jarvis scores the shorthanded goal, and it ignites Carolina's comeback. The early shorty in this game, not an ideal way to start the hockey game.
No. And, you know, for the Blackhawks power play, they had scored power play goals in the last two games, and they're looking for three straight there. Nothing going in their power plays against Carolina in the two-game series, and they gave up two shorthanded goals, as you said. So, I mean, that... And I don't know if there's anything specific that you said that they did wrong, other than I don't think they were quite ready for the aggressiveness of the Carolina penalty kill, and that's why they're the best in the league. They do it well. They're all on the same page, and they don't give you an opportunity to set up. Most teams, you know, just let you set up, and they're looking for the plays, and you can pass it around the outside. That's not what Carolina does, so it's a kind of a different animal when you're playing up against the Hurricanes, and it just didn't seem to me that the Blackhawks, when they got that opportunity, were prepared against the aggressive penalty killing and opened up that opportunity, created a 2-on-1, capitalized on it, and you know now you're kind of sitting back a little bit, you're chasing the score, takes a little bit of life out of you, but they were able to regroup by that late goal in the first period. Second period, you know, you started off okay, but a little bit lack of awareness of what you needed to do. Seth Jones jumped up into the play. And, you know, when they came back, they actually had some numbers there, but everybody chased Roslovic. Everybody looked at Roslovic, and he's a guy that's got a lot of skill. He's got good hands, and he sets up Rantanen. And nobody was looking at Rantanen and coming in as the second kind of wave there. And, you know, give Roslovic a ton of credit there. That, you know, that's a play where you look at it, and if it was Connor Bedard, they're going like, wow, what a great play. He took three players to him and then set up the open guy. So, you know, they made a mistake on the coverage there. Then they kind of just lost the scramble that was going around a little bit more than a minute later. So, you know, that was kind of the difference. But overall, I thought the Hawks worked hard, and if they can get the power play going in this game when they had a couple opportunities, it might be a different story.
So Carolina went into this hockey game. We thought the big storyline of this game was going to be Taylor Hall's facing his former Blackhawks team, but he was a late scratch in this game because of an illness, and then Sebastian Aho also was a late scratch because of he was sick. So Carolina played this game 17 skaters, and Ryan Suzuki, who made his NHL debut, I just saw on social media before I got here, he got the call at 1 o'clock Eastern time, or 2 o'clock Eastern time, flew from Chicago to Raleigh to get to the game on time. So it's kind of a chaotic situation for Carolina.
Wow, he came from Chicago.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, when you look at the final stats, he only played 6 minutes. So basically they played three lines in this game, and the Hawks not able to capitalize. But, you know, give credit to Carolina. Next man up mentality, and hey, let's get it done here. We've got a couple of key players out of the lineup. I was looking forward to seeing Taylor Hall in the lineup here, and I don't even know if he was, you know, in the building. And suppose if he was not feeling well that they told him to stay home. So, you know, disappointing for him because he was down at the morning skate, and everybody kind of thought that, okay, you know, he's fine. Everything's going right in the right direction. But the flu bug has been going around. Something's been going around inside Carolina's locker room, and they don't want it to, you know, fester in anything more. So maybe out of precaution, they told Taylor Hall to stay home. I know that he would be excited to play against the Blackhawks so soon and get it over with and get it done with. And you never know where Taylor Hall is going to be next year, if he's here or somewhere else. But, you know, missed opportunity for him, and I'm sure that's a disappointment. But, you know, Hawks not able to take advantage of a team that was short-staffed a couple key guys.
What did you think of Taylor's comments this morning? I know he was hoping for Chicago to be more of a longer-term fit for him because he's been moving around so many times, but it just feels like with his role diminishing and the Blackhawks wanting to go a little younger, I'm just not sure if there was going to be a fit there. And so I don't think there was any animosity from Taylor towards Chicago, but it did seem like he welcomed the trade to Carolina to go chase for a cup.
Well, you know, and he kind of mentioned at the point of my career, and he's right, you know, would Nick Foligno, would Patrick Maroon, you know, all these older players that were brought in, you know, to be mentors to the younger players as you go through this transition, would they rather be on a team like Carolina who's going to make the playoffs and are expected to make another strong push toward the Stanley Cup? Absolutely. You know, that's something that every player strives for, and you want to be put in that position. And Taylor Hall heard the rumors that, you know, he would be traded before the deadline. There was calls being made to Kyle Davidson. And, you know, when this whole deal kind of went through there, they decided to pull the trigger to be the third man in the deal between Colorado and the Hurricanes. So you kind of look at the situation. I don't think that he was negative towards Chicago. Was he happy playing on the fourth line? No. We don't know what's going to happen here in Carolina. They said he played great the first couple of games, so good for him to, you know, come into a different environment and maybe just give him a fresh outlook. You kind of get in a position where you sometimes it's tough to come to the rink when you're an older player because, you know, you're in a position, as he said, maybe it wasn't the best fit at his time of his career, but, you know, if he stayed in Chicago, I think he would have been happy. Is he happy with the ice time? No, but now you got to put the onus on him. He needed to be better to make sure that he was playing more minutes. So that's on him. And he kind of said that. But also, you know, his expectations of the way that he thinks he can play deserved some more ice time and another opportunity. And he's going to get this down here in Carolina where, you know, with all the young guys coming in, I don't know where he would fit for the rest of the year and next year as the Blackhawks look towards this youth movement.
Yeah, it's kind of, and for the Blackhawks and Carolina Hurricanes to get this trade done when they did, it's nice for both the player where Taylor can have that little runway to adjust for the Carolina, but also Chicago where they can open up a spot to a guy like Landon Slaggart or whoever that is. So it was kind of like a win-win to get this done sooner than later.
Yeah, and I think for, you know, Colorado, they couldn't afford to wait till the trade deadline to see what was going on. And you know, maybe at that point you just can't come to an agreement, and now you have an opportunity to lose Rantanen for nothing. So I give Chris McFarland a lot of credit in Colorado to kind of make this a big blockbuster deal when nobody saw it coming in a lot of ways. And you know, it made sense for them to get something back because they didn't want to lose them. And again, I don't know the whole situation, but if you wanted to get the deal done, if you're Mikko Rantanen with the Colorado Avalanche, you would have got it done and you would have had an agreement in place. And I know that they said they're not going to talk about it and they're not going to do this, they're not going to do that. That, you know, that's kind of malarkey because you sit there and you're going, okay, we need to know what you're going to do. Where are you going to come in at? What, like, you know, significant discount? What does that mean? I just think that their camp kind of played their hand and Colorado had to call bluff a little bit here and make their decision. And then for Rantanen to come out and say that he's surprised in the deal, I'm just disappointed in that because, you know, he's the guy, he's the player. If he wanted to stay in Colorado, he could have stayed in Colorado and made a lot of money anyways. I mean, right. When you get up to that kind of money, what's the difference? So, you know, was he happy in Colorado? Yes. Did he love it? Yes. Did Colorado want him to leave? No. Did McKinnon want him to leave? Absolutely not. But the situation arose to where they had no choice. They made a decision, and I like their decision. For Carolina, they got the guy that they've been looking for. And, you know, Gensel's a great player, but he's not Mikko Rantanen, and that's the guy they got last year. They weren't able to sign him in the offseason. They really hope that they can sign him here. So it makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. And for the Blackhawks, if they were going to trade Taylor Hall, why not trade him when the availability was there? You look at the chance for them to, you know, they had to absorb some money here in this situation, but the Blackhawks are very comfortable in their cap situation, so that wasn't a big deal. And they move up about 20 spots in the draft pick, and that's, you know, that could factor into a much better pick. And yeah, okay, it's the beginning of the third round compared to the end of the third round type of thing, but you know, you might find that guy, and it's basically a late round second pick. So, you know, Hawks did what I think that they needed to do, and everybody's kind of saying, well, why are they stepping in here? Well, you know, why would they wait? I mean, if it's there, it's on the table. Get the deal done. Move up 20 spots and move on. If you're Kyle Davidson, the opportunity arose and he took advantage of that situation. I know a lot of players or people around the NHL are kind of shaking their heads about why Chicago had to do it. If you really look at the underlying numbers and all that kind of stuff of what they retained and what they had to pay Taylor Hall, not a significant amount of difference, and the Hawks move on with their younger players.
All right, last one for you, Troy. Looking at the Fort Lauderdale weather forecast, you got a high of 79 tomorrow and sunny. Does Panger got a tee time set up for you guys or what?
Well, I'll never tell.
Maybe. I didn't say where.
Maybe.
You don't want black.
I'm not saying I am, but
I'm not saying I'm not either.
I'm not saying I'm not either.
All right, well, get some sun and bring it back here on Saturday because we got some rain in the forecast for the next couple of days. So hopefully you can bring the sun back.
Well, John said it was raining down in Florida a little bit earlier, so I like your forecast.
Yeah, no,
you know the.
Well, it was raining today. In Fort Lauderdale?
No, he was talking about the reigning champs, and I asked him, it was raining down there.
I missed
And then
that.
He was explaining it to me.
Oh, yes, because our brains don't operate the way they should.
mine's, I haven't figured out mine yet.
I don't know if we ever will.
No, I don't even want to try.
We just got to keep rolling.
I'm having fun the way it is.
It's an adventure for us all.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, great stuff, Troy.
The good thing is I keep everybody guessing.
You keep everyone on your toes. Good thing Krista's not in today or else she'd be on her toes tonight.
Yeah, and I do apologize for a couple of my mistakes. I'm you know, John is excellent at the cough button thing, and I'm new at this, so I'll get better at it if I need to.
If you need to, yeah. Z will hook you up with another one.
Yeah, if it's still there next Wednesday when they take on the Maple Leafs, I might need it.
All right, good stuff. Safe travels to Florida.
All right, thanks, Charlie.
All right, that is the great Troy Murray out in Carolina. Hawks fall to the Hurricanes 3-2. We got some Blackhawks sound coming in from the locker room that we will play on the other side of the break. You're listening to Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN.
Here's Jones with a pass. Bedard's got a break over the Hurricane line. Down the right wing, moves and shoots. He scores! Connor Bedard went right through the five hole on Kochetkov and draws the Hawks back to within a goal. 3-2 with 13:31 left in the third.
Back here on the Blackhawks post-game show, Charlie Romeliotis here, helping you break down a 3-2 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes for Chicago as they continued their three-game road trip. That goal you just heard was Connor Bedard finding the back of the net, going five-hole. He now has points in 16 of his last 18 games for Bedard, and he also has 30 points in his last 30 games. So he's on a point-per-game pace over his last 30 games, and the sample size is starting to grow. Been playing much better under Anders Sorensen. Notice today that he finished with 23 minutes and 47 seconds of ice time, which I think is the second highest of the season for him. I know he played 24:44 against Nashville on January 16th. I actually think this might be his third highest. Okay, against Calgary on December 21st, 23 minutes and 58 seconds. So I think it's his second highest in regulation for Connor Bedard. He's been awesome lately, but shout out to Seth Jones for the stretch pass to Bedard. Connor's going to get the love for the highlight reel, whatever. He's going to show up on that. But Seth Jones's pass to Connor, while I think it was Dmitry Orlov that was the defenseman that was defending Connor, and good puck retrieval by Bedard. But Seth Jones, the stretch pass, picks up the primary assist on Bedard's goal, and that is now an unofficial 7-game point streak for Seth Jones. It technically is not a 7-game point streak because he missed a game because of an illness, missed two games because of an illness. So it doesn't technically count as a point streak, but his last 7 games, he's picked up at least 1 point. And over those 7 games, he has 2 goals and 8 assists for 10 points. So he's averaging more than a point per game. And since that Calgary game on January 13th, when he had a -4 rating, and it was probably his worst game as a Blackhawk, had only 16:19 of ice time in that hockey game. He's a +5 rating, so in those 6 games since that game. So credit to Seth Jones for bouncing back, honestly, in a big way, because that probably stung a little bit for him. Get hearing the boos on home ice. I'm sure it's been really hard for him to kind of feel that love from the Blackhawks fan base, because he came here under weird circumstances where the team was trying to go for it, and then it just has not gone the way Chicago is hoping. Then the team declares a rebuild, and he's in a situation that he wasn't hoping to be in, but now finds himself trying to figure out how to power through this. So credit to Jones for really sticking through and bouncing back in a big way from that Calgary game. He spoke to the media earlier. Let's listen in and hear what he had to say.
Oh, yeah. I think I cut most of my visor, but cut my nose, too.
Looks severe. Yeah. Kind of a strange game, you know, other than, 67 seconds there in the second period. You were right with them. How do you assess this one?
Yeah, just exactly like how you said it there. You know, just a little mental lapse, and they go 2 back-to-back on us, and it's hard to get, scoring chances, let alone goals against this team. And, I thought we battled hard, we competed hard, our forecheck was pretty good. They're just a difficult team to play in their building, and, our power play wasn't good. So that didn't give us any energy, but decent game overall.
Hard to get chances against them, but it seemed like you guys passed up a number of chances today. Like, were you not aggressive enough shooting?
Yeah, the first 15 minutes of the game, I don't know if we had a shot, did we?
Well, that's not also, yeah.
But, when we get over the blue line, we just got to start putting pucks to the net, I think, and not looking for the perfect play, especially against this team. We can probably take a page out of their book. You know, they usually end games with 70, 80 shot attempts and 40 shots on net. If you look at the analytics, I guess, that'll lead to some wins.
What has been going on with the power play? You guys have given up 3 shorties in the last 8 games to the Seth Jarvis.
Yep. This penalty kill is probably one of the best we've seen this year. They're super aggressive on our breakouts. They hold the line well. Their sticks are excellent. I'm not sure if we weren't coming with enough speed on our drop. But they make you make some pretty perfect plays to get shots on net and get chances, and we couldn't execute that.
You've got, I think it's 9 points in the last six games since the Calgary game. How much better do you feel about your Calgary game?
I feel good. I think it starts with my breakouts and finding options there, putting guys in good spots, and then it kind of goes to the neutral zone, and my game works up from there. So trying to find plays offensively when I can, but it starts defensively, having a good stick all over the ice and keeping pucks out of my net first.
What did you see on that play to Connor?
I saw him stretching, and so I looked, I shoulder checked before I got the puck, and honestly just tried to rip it up the boards to him. I saw he had body position on the defenseman, I think, so, when he gets the puck there, it's usually in the net.
He still passes maybe a little bit more than he should. Do you guys encourage him to just shoot almost any time he can?
Well, I think there's a difference between just shooting everything and shooting when the time is right, or making the right play. I think he wants to make the right play every time. And sometimes, maybe more often than not, the shot is the right play, especially when we don't create a lot. When the Jumbotron says zero shots up there, maybe he should shoot the puck. But he's always trying to make the right play. He's trying to get everyone involved, so it's hard to blame him for that. But when he's aggressive, we're definitely a better hockey team.
Given the point streak that Bedard has been having.
The point streak?
Yeah.
His points in 16 of 18.
Okay, right. Okay. In the last one. But anyway, is he putting himself in better position lately? Like, what is this uptick in the production coming from?
I don't know. Maybe opportunistic. He's always had a very good knack of finding offensive spots and soft areas to get the puck. And then when he does get it on the rush, he's great at making plays. That's where he excels when there's open ice and, he's on the rush and making guys come to him and dishing it off or just being goalies clean. So when he gets in those positions, he's super dangerous, and we want him in those positions a lot more.
That was Blackhawks defenseman Seth Jones, who had a primary assist and was a plus one in this hockey game. Only Ilya Mikheyev was also a plus in this minus, or in this hockey game for Chicago. And Seth also did block five shots as well, which led all skaters. So a really solid game for Seth Jones. Ilya Mikheyev finds the back of the net. He finishes with a team-high three shots on goal, so nice to see them produce. Ryan Donato, he's been on a nice hot streak. He didn't get on the score sheet in this hockey game, but he did log 18:05 of ice time, which is probably higher than we've seen in a while for Ryan Donato. He also spoke to the media after this game. Let's listen in to see what he had to say about this loss.
One against Carolina. I mean, how do you explain what happened here?
I'm not sure. I mean, we got down early, and that's not a good recipe for success. And, it's a little too little too late. We had a little push at the end, but, I think if we start on time and, capitalize on our chances and shoot the puck more, we'll have more success.
I think it was like 16 minutes without a shot on goal to start the game. I mean, how aware are you guys of that when it's happening?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I saw that. Obviously, I look up and see the stats during the game up on the scoreboard. But for me, I felt like I was kind of surprised when I saw that there was no shots. I feel like, for my line, I thought we had a couple of possessions in zone, and I was surprised that we didn't get one in the net, but it just goes to show, you can have all the possession you want. If you're not shooting it, you're not going to score. So I think we just got to, shoot more.
You're never afraid to shoot. How do you get other guys to think the same way?
I don't know. Usually I think it just starts with them trying it. Like, you got to do it, and, you get a lucky one that bounces off of a skate or, hits off the goalie awkwardly and somehow sneaks in, and you're there like, okay, now maybe that's the key to success, just, numbers. And I think, there's other plays to be had. It's not always the best option to shoot, but, if you don't have the perfect pass, shot's a good option. So I think we could do that a little bit more.
There also seem to be some misses and some shots blocked. Do you think with the misses they're being too picky with trying to, like, maybe pick a corner or something like that?
Yeah, I think sometimes when you have a guy in your lane, you're kind of worried about, getting it blocked, having to go the other way. But, like I said, it's never going to be the perfect shot or the perfect opportunity unless you have a breakaway or a two-on-one. And, that doesn't happen very often. So I think, it's got to be a second rebound or second chance. You get off of a shot that goes through somebody, and, it's easier said than done for sure. But I think that's something we got to learn.
Doc has been talking about being more physical. I mean, he already is pretty physical. What did you see from him on your line tonight?
Yeah, he's great. He's going to finish his checks. He's going to hold on to pucks down low, and that's easy to play with, right, when you have guys that are, are predictable and they're going to be in the right spots at the right time. That's the key for, the young guys. It's it's a hard league, and you know, he plays a heavy game, so it's good to see, and you know, you can make a long career out of that.
That was Blackhawks forward Ryan Donato. I was looking this up while he was talking. He logged 18:05 of ice time. I believe, my quick math, that's the fourth highest ice time he's had in a game this season. His career high, or his season high, was 20 minutes and 55 seconds on November 19th versus Anaheim in a 3-2 loss. So it was about a month and a, well, about two and a half months ago. And then also had 18:20 against Vancouver and 19:13 against LA. So yeah, Donato logged some heavy ice time in this hockey game. But yeah, again, overall, not a poor effort by the Blackhawks. I mean, you expected Carolina to really flex their muscles on home ice. And if you look at the 5-on-5 scoring chances, according to Natural Stat Trick, it says 26-9, but the high danger chances were 8-4 in favor of Carolina. So there really weren't many high quality chances that Chicago gave up. And so, I mean, if you told the Blackhawks that they would limit Carolina to 8 high danger chances in 51 minutes and 54 seconds of 5-on-5 time, I think the Hawks would have taken that all day. So it was not a poor effort by any stretch by Chicago. It's just one of those things that it's one of those games where Carolina is just so good on home ice. And especially with Mikko Rantanen making his home debut for the Hurricanes, you knew that building was going to have a little bit of extra jump in that game. So yeah, Hawks fall 3-2. They did make a third period push, but unfortunately fall just shy. We got more to get to here on the Blackhawks post game show. We're going to have including our save of the game, and we'll hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen coming up next right here on 720 WGN.
Donato collides with one of the Hurricanes. They both go down in the far corner. That's Gostisbehere. Meanwhile, the puck back up ice into the Hawks zone. Orlov high slot. Put it in front of the net. Svechnikov jams it in on goal, and Soderblom got down in the butterfly position to make the save. Follow-up shot by Orlov, and that was blocked.
That was tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. One of 23 saves on the night for Arvid Soderblom. Faced 26 shots for a save percentage of .885. Hang on a second. Did they just add a shot? So now he had 24 saves on 27 shots, apparently. All right, cool. Arvid Soderblom, so he started this game for the second straight game after he turned in an awesome performance in Tampa Bay, where he made 3.19 saved above expected, or goals above expected. It was unbelievable performance in Tampa Bay. Well-deserved consecutive start. And it's one of those things where the Hawks are starting to get a little bit better goaltending as of late. Peter Mrazek has been playing better. Arvid Soderblom has, weirdly, his numbers, he's now one and two over his last four starts, but he has like a .920 save percentage or something. So he's been awesome and starting to turn a corner for the Blackhawks. So that's nice to see. I imagine they'll go to Peter Mrazek on Saturday afternoon against the Florida Panthers. And then you have Pyotr Kochetkov for Carolina, finished with 18 saves on 20 shots for a .900 save percentage. Boy, that Kochetkov, he's a personality, but he is also everywhere in the goal. Like there were quite a few moments in this game where he turns the puck over to Colton Dock, and Dock unfortunately was not able to capitalize, and there were some sprawling saves where he just looks, it was like Marc-Andre Fleury-esque, the way he just kind of battles in the net. So he's a fun goaltender to watch. I did star a few noteworthy saves. Arvid Soderblom had a really good early one against Andrei Svechnikov. Soderblom also had one on Robinson in the second period, but then Kochetkov had quite a few. The one that I circled was the Kochetkov save on Tyler Bertuzzi in the second period after Carolina went up 3-1. Boy, if he buries that to make it 3-2, maybe it's a little bit of a different feel of the hockey game for the rest of the night. But unfortunately for Chicago, Kochetkov got his right pad save on it. So Good goaltending performance by Arvid Soderblom, but unfortunately he can't pick up the win. Let's hear what Anders Sorensen, Blackhawks interim head coach, had to say about this 3-2 loss to Carolina.
What do you take away from that?
We did a lot of good things, except that spurt of a couple minutes there in the second that hurt us, obviously. Thought we battled really hard here in the third, created some opportunities. The result wasn't there, but there were definitely some positive things.
When you're 16 minutes into the game and don't have a shot on goal yet, are you making the guys aware of that? Like, just get the puck on net, like, get it kind of on the cookie jar lid or anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I think everybody sees it, right? We had some shot attempts. I don't know if they blocked a bunch and pressured our shots. But I thought after that, though, we did a lot of good things in terms of that. Got pucks to the net more, and they're a good team. They're a good defensive team. They suffocate you all over the ice, but I thought we did a really good job after that 12-13 minutes at the start.
Seth Jones has been really good since that Calgary game. What have you seen out of him? Is it just him figuring your system out? Is it his foot? Like, what do you think is attributable to that?
Great question. I mean, he's been really well. He played really well tonight again. He probably took it personally a little bit what happened there, and he's really elevated his game here in the last six games, and yeah, he's been really good.
The power play has given up three shorthanded goals in the last eight games, and then two of those have been set by Seth Jarvis that have sparked his rallies. Do you know what's happening on that front?
Well, we had turnovers inside the blue line, I think, on two against Carolina for sure, right? And obviously they hold the line well, and then they countered quickly on both of those tonight as well.
For Nazar, it seemed like they were getting on them pretty quick, and just kind of a learning moment of how fast you have to make decisions at this level.
Yeah, good moment to understand, like, the game is on the line and how quickly space closes out here against good teams like this.
So what do you focus on in practice going on?
I don't know if I have the answer right this second, to be honest with you. The game just ended, so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen talking about this 3-2 loss to Carolina. By the way, I threw some flowers at Seth Jones, and rightfully so, but I also wanted to give some love to Nolan Allen in this hockey game for his physicality. I know he's been in and out of the lineup over the last few games, and he didn't play against Tampa Bay, but he redraws into the lineup for Ethan Delmastro, who has been his most consistent pairing member in Rockford. And boy, he was throwing his body around. He finished with four hits in this hockey game, which led the team and was also tied in the game among all skaters, ironically, with Andrei Svechnikov, who the two of them were going at it all night. I mean, Svechnikov had Allen had the hit on Svechnikov first in the second period. It was between Carolina's goals to make it 2-1 and 3-1. So within that minute, Allen lays a big hit on Svechnikov, and then Svechnikov later on, I think it was the next shift, actually, he lays a big hit on Allen. It looked like Allen wanted to drop his gloves. Like, he was asking Svechnikov to go. Svechnikov probably wisely declined, because that probably wouldn't have been a fair trade-off for Carolina. And but then later on, we saw another kind of back and forth when Allen kind of hooked Svechnikov kind of in front. Svechnikov was looking at the ref. He seemed like he was frustrated that there was no penalty called, and Allen kind of looked like he was chirping him a little bit to continue to get under his skin. So that was a fun back and forth battle. I think for Allen to stay in the lineup, that's exactly the kind of game that Sorensen wants to see him play. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I think just getting showing more of his physicality in those games is what Sorensen wants to see. So nice game for Nolan Allen against a very quick Carolina team, especially in their own building. Okay, we got one more break here to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show. Hey, I wanted to shout out something that happened in the NHL tonight. Former Blackhawk goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury, he announced before this season began that this was going to be his final year in the NHL and he was going to retire at the end of it. And the Hawks recognized him a few games ago when Minnesota was in town, even though Fleury was the backup. And Fleury was in Montreal tonight. It was his final game in his hometown hometown, and he pitched a 19 save shutout. In Montreal, they do it big for him. When I remember when the Blackhawks were there a few years ago, Fleury got his 500th career NHL win there, and they were really receptive. He came out for one of for the first star of the game, and then Fleury was tonight after the shutout. Every single member of the Montreal Canadiens roster waited for Fleury at center ice, and it was basically like a playoff handshake line, but just for Marc-Andre Fleury. So a really cool scene in Montreal. He's had such a storied NHL career, but it was kind of like a storybook finish for him personally in his hometown of Montreal. I can't think of a better way for him to go out against his hometown fans and hometown. I'm sure he had family and friends in attendance. So awesome to see that former Blackhawk goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury. All right, let's get to tonight's next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The next game for the Blackhawks is going to be on Saturday afternoon at 12 o'clock. Nice little afternoon game for Chicago, but it is against the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, who started the season with a 22-11-2 record. But since December 23rd, they're 8-8-1. So they're a 500 team over the last month or 5 weeks or so. So they're kind of in the dog days of the season for the reigning Stanley Cup champions, where they get off to that hot start. They know that, okay, let's just build a cushion here and then kind of coast in the coast in January, February, because they know that they have to kind of prepare for a title defense. And so no surprise that they're kind of hitting a lull in this season right now. But they are coming off a 3-0 win over the LA Kings the other night. And Sergei Bobrovsky had a 30-save shutout. And Matthew Tkachuk had a goal and two assists for 3 points in that hockey game. Sam Reinhart has 29 goals, which was tied for second in the NHL going into tonight. Mark Scheifele of Winnipeg got up to 30, so now he's in second. But Reinhart has cooled off just a little bit. He's only got 2 goals in his last 8 games after having 5 goals in his previous 3. So Florida has cooled off a little bit as a team, but should not be taken lightly by any stretch for Chicago, which is going to be ending a 3-game road trip in Fort Lauderdale. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That's going to do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Brendan Rook. They were led by our engineer, our fearless Colonel Brett Jackson. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from Carolina, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 3-2 Blackhawks loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Saturday afternoon.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com, and through your smartphone with the WGN app.